Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show. This episode is sponsored by The LM Experience. The LM Experience is an event management firm located in Houston, Texas. We're committed to a high level of execution for any type of event. From galas to workshops, we're sure to make your event an experience. Need assistance with your virtual event? We're here to help. Contact us for more information at www.thelmexperience.com. We don't just manage events, we execute experiences. Over 14 years ago, the world of HR captured Candace unexpectedly. Started out in the accounting field, a mentor quickly identified her purpose was to be much greater. Initially hesitant about entering the field of HR, Candace took the leap. In her HR tenure, she has been sure to leave an imprint for each employer that has encountered her. She is the mother of two beautiful children and currently resides in a small, peaceful town of Dallastown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Candace, thank you so much for joining me on Convo with Keisha. How are you today?
I am wonderful, Keisha. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. So I am so excited to talk to you. I mean, you are like the HR guru. We had such an awesome time on the racism panel. I'm like, when I saw you were going to be on the show, I was like, oh, yes, ma'am. Let us do this. So start by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh yeah, okay. So I'm Candace Robinson White. I'm an HR manager for a global food manufacturer, but I've been in HR for over 15 years at this point. I have two beautiful children. I'm originally from Philadelphia. So okay. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles, you know. That's how.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, and I just have an all-out passion for what I do in HR, which is, number one, just creating great places to work, allowing things to be fair and consistent. I'm very passionate about that, and, you know, I'm really blessed that God would have ordered me in these steps right. to create so many great experiences for employers, and I've been blessed to have a niche for, you know, really taking some of the most difficult cultures and creating wonderful cultures by the time that I'm done with it. So that's basically the spiel about me.
I definitely love it. I loved our conversation on the panel, you know, talking about, you know, racism and HR and, you know, just that whole thing. I think you really enlighten a lot of the guests about, you know, and it's not really always about color. It's about other things, you know, as well. So talk to us a little bit about how you decided to get into human resources.
Oh, man. You know, when people ask me this story, it takes me back and it really causes me to reflect on where God has brought me. But I will say I was not looking to be in human resources at all. I started out many moons ago thinking that I was going to be this big time marketing executive and, you know, and God had other plans. And I took a job kind of doing some like accounting, mm-hmm. accounts payable, labor analytical work for a food manufacturer, as a matter of fact. And in doing that work, I had to kind of gather my data by mm-hmm. connecting with the people. And that workforce was very diverse. I mean, you're talking about Turkish, African, Hispanic.
Oh, wow.
You know, the list goes on. And I had to be very creative with how I connected with people. But I've always had a passion for just people and diversity. So I was able to kind of get the data, and it saved the company a whole lot of money. And they were like, what happened? How does she do this? Like, how does she connect with all these people? Well, then the HR manager says to my boss at the time, hey, we need Candace over here. Mm-hmm. You know,
keep her here.
You know, we can't promote her, you know, because this is the ceiling for this. And so her next step should be in HR. And they came to me and I said, human resources? What? Like, I don't want, absolutely not. I don't want to hire and fire people. Right. That is not what I want to do. And it took some persuading by this gentleman by the name of Sean Bray that is still my mentor till this day. And he said, listen, it's not just about hiring and firing.
Right.
And when he kind of broke it down for me, I took the leap and, you know, reluctantly I took that leap, but you know what? I never looked back. And I mm-hmm. said, where has this been all my life? Like, where has this been?
Like, so that's your calling. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a blessing since then. Yep.
I think a lot of people are misguided about what human resources is and what it entails. I think they don't see the big picture. And just in talking with you, I was able to like grasp actually what it was. I was able to like truly get that it is about people. It we don't say human resources for nothing. It is about humans.
That's right, Lakeisha. That's right. You know, HR has many facets to it. And the more, I mean, even being 15 years in the field, I still find more ways that we add value. But I think, I mean, you hit the nail on the head is that when companies, you know, see that they need human resources, mm-hmm. over time, they become to realize how important that human capital is, you know, how,
right.
just in general, you know, wow, how does that affect my bottom line, right? Every business owner has a bottom line. I want to make profit, you know, right. How do I make the profit? And a lot of times they are focused on their vision, right? They're focused on what they're desiring to do in business. And so they need to partner with someone that will help them to focus on the people part.
Exactly.
You know, whether that's recruiting the right people in, whether that's handling conflicts in the workplace, you know, whether that's reducing chances of litigation because, you know, someone slipped, tripped, and fell, you right. know, human resources really helps take away their focus on that busy work so that they can remain to be the visionaries of their jobs and exactly. their businesses and of their passions. And I think that's another thing that I love about it is I'm able to allow entrepreneurs and business owners to focus on, you know, what their main feature was, right? You know, this right. is what I want to do. I want to make the best pizza in the world, you know, but I don't have time to worry about the training for the people, you know?
Like, yeah, your pizza going to be trash if you don't. It's not going to be good.
That's right. That's right.
I think you bring up a really good point, even for myself as, you know, an entrepreneur with a team, but I mean, they don't work for me. They work with me. How important is it for any organization, be it entrepreneur, small business to big business, how important is it for you to have an HR department?
Oof. You know, I would say, honestly, it depends on the business. I think to say HR department kind of limits what HR mm-hmm. does. I think, so let's just say we got a small business that can't necessarily afford a HR department. You know, it costs to add a competent, knowledgeable professional,
right?
You know, to your business. So I think that I would like to really state that what is the value of having human resources knowledge of the principles, of the skills, the abilities. It's essential. I think every business owner in their own way, every entrepreneur already has a part of human resources within them because when they recognize to get to their ultimate goal that they have to have the right people in place, you know, that they have to determine, hey, how do I pay these people? That's all human resources. Right. You know, oh, I'm having this issue with this person that I've worked so well with, but we're, you know, we're having some accountability situations, you know, that's HR. So it's essential, and it's actually kind of innate. It is an innate part of a business. And it depends on either how big that business grows or the direction that business is going to what type of HR professional or whatever that they should have right. to partner with in their business. So
that makes sense. I think a lot of times in some organizations, they feel like, okay, let me just grab an attorney and give me some templates for some contracts and I'm good. And you are managing or have people as resources in your company. So that's, to me, that's crazy to not even see the value of having, you know, HR or even an HR professional's position in your organization, even some strategy to some degree when you think about it, because as you begin to grow, you need to have people on your team, not maybe always contractors, you know, right. or ICs, you know, right. maybe you need to add some folks, you know, actually to your team, and you need that strategy or that professional expertise to know who to hire. Cause sometimes we hire off of emotion, especially as women, you know, we
yes.
just, oh, she yes. looks cute. Oh, I like how she talks. Let me just go ahead and hire her. Or, you know, oh, he speaks well. And then he can't spell, you right. know, like,
you know, so that's interesting. You say that that's actually, something that I've learned along my path in my career as I've made my way up to the manager level is, you know, especially having that love for people, I had to really figure out, especially being over a team, how am I best helping them? Am I helping them by, you know, doing their work for them because I hire them because they're nice people and, you know, I think that they are kind, you know, or am I helping someone by, you know, giving them that constructive feedback and, right. you know, first of all, believing in their competency and their abilities and being able to be transparent with them and say, hey, this area is great, you know, but on the other side, we need to work on this because this is where you're saying you want to get. We have to kind of remove the emotion out of it
right.
when it comes to certain things, but also know when to be human. It is a very delicate balance. I would say it's not for the faint of heart. And this field is not for everybody. It's, you have to be able to kind of have some natural ability for this as well.
Right.
You know, a textbook can't teach it all with this field. I can tell you that right now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That, and I'm glad you say that because there could be people, you know, here who are interested in, you know, HR, they think, oh, okay, well, I just get to hire and fire folks. Like, it's beyond that. So what would you say, you know, that what you do is different than, say, you know, someone that works for a Fortune 500 company and they're in HR?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would say, first of all, I'm very blessed to be in a situation where I like to call a very grounded and mm-hmm. A very laid back type of HR environment versus a lot of corporate America. And by that, I mean, I really get a chance to practice the human and the human resources. I'm very connected to the people we interact. We're involved in the day to day. You know, so for example, someone at a Fortune 500 company, maybe someone that, you know, supports other locations, whether that's through an email, Skype, you know, conference calls, it's not very personal. You know, maybe they are human resources for professionals that have offices and desks. You know,
right.
where I am, you know, there's individuals that are working in a plant environment. You know, we have forklift operators. We have people that are packing for machines, you know, we mm-hmm. have, you know, and so we're working with individuals that have second chances as far as criminal backgrounds and things like that, you know, that really makes for a very, very good mix inside of our workforce. And I think with that, it allows for me to practice something that I love a lot, which is psychology, and infuse with the business side of it. And I think that's the difference.
Right.
You know, everyone in human resources we all deal with people. That we can say that 100 times over. But the difference, I think, on my side is I'm able to be a lot more in their face and connect it and really affect the day-to-day by right. putting my hands on it. So that, I think, is, it makes me feel great every day going home doing that.
Exactly. And you can tell the difference because I've worked for companies where HR was, you know, these people you don't see until you get in trouble. And then I, you know, and then you're like, yeah. Well, who is that? Oh, that's the HR manager. And then I worked for companies where HR was very hands-on. They were there to see, you know, just to ask, how are things going? And things necessarily weren't wrong. Mm-hmm. Or if you're in a training, they're there at the training like, oh, okay, well, we're just making sure you're getting, you know, what you need or what the company is saying that they, you know, are doing with you. We're just trying to make sure that that's done. So you can tell the difference between people who interact actually with the employees as opposed to those that, you know, sit in this office and they just send out emails. Mm-hmm. Or discipline. Yeah. You show our discipline, you know.
Well, you know something with that? It's interesting you mentioned that because I often hear from places that I have been employed that, you know, man, I used to hate HR until you were here.
Yeah. And
a big part of that was because sometimes we have a stigma. It's just like what you just said. It's like, oh, I'm going to HR, I must be in trouble. And you know, I always work very diligently to dispel that.
Yeah.
Because right. I kind of feel like HR is there to add value strategically mm-hmm. in all assets. You know, how about before it gets to that level, we've already have something in place where that person doesn't even have to get in trouble. You know, right. how about we make sure that when they come to see us in HR and they, you know, they open up to us and say, hey, I'm not being treated fairly. You know, this is what's happening over there in my department, that HR doesn't just take the stand of just the management and says, oh, well, if the management, you have to really, you know, have an ethics and integrity about yourself,
right.
you know, to say, you know what, and also a strength, to be honest with you, because you can stand in front of people and not want to tell them straight, but I've had to say to managers, listen, that you shouldn't have done that. This is, you know, if this was you, how would you feel? Do you feel as though that was respect? You know, and, you know, and also challenge the employee as well. And I've right. been able to build that reputation where they feel as though I'm fair and consistent, you know, I teach my right. team. We have to be the liaison. We have to be that middle ground. We can't be leaning to the left or the right, you know, because we have to make sure that we're the ones that bring everybody back together. Right. And it's a delicate balance. So yeah, man.
Exactly. Oof. I love that, sis. I love that. So what advice would you give someone who, you know, wants to pursue a career similar to yours? You know, that they're thinking about HR.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting with that too. I actually see a lot of younger people going right for degrees in human resources.
Right.
And when I started seeing that, I want to say it had to be probably about over the last 10 years. And I'm thinking, what are they thinking? Like, what's, especially if they haven't really experienced HR, like, what made them, because I know it made me fall into it, but like, what's making them say, you know what, I want to be in HR today?
Right.
And I say that to say is that that's a good step. You know, you're going to always want to educate yourself and things like that. But HR remains to be one of those fields that you had to apply. It has to be real life application.
Mm-hmm.
To yeah. your practices in HR. You can read anything in a handbook or a textbook and you can think you're going to come out, graduate and be an HR manager and you're going to sit in front of someone and the moment that they challenge you with something that you haven't faced, you're not going to know what to do because there's not a chapter in that book that's going to say, turn to page 5, this is how you deal with John.
Yeah.
You know, and so what I say is have the mentality. I want to say if you want to be a good HR person, you know, a person that is serious, has the ethics and all those things we talked about, you're going to want to be open to starting at a place that is entry level. You're going to want to be open to that. And I mean, HR assistant, administrative assistant in the HR department, that is where you're going to want to get in. And as you get into that position, you're going to want to be like a sponge, and you're going to want to show that you're thirsty and that you're hungry to know, but then also that you can keep confidentiality. Those are, that's huge.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of people that could do it. I've seen some of my peers, you know, talk about some things, and I'm just like, how can you, with all within you, you know, be in respect to this field and do that? So I think that will allow a person that wants to move up in HR that foundation that they need. And then as they move up, you know, continue to be consistent, continue to be fair. And I would say start there. I would say start there, even coming out with your college degree or not. I mean, there are plenty of HR positions out here. A lot of companies are realizing we don't always need our HR professional to have their degree. What they like to see a lot of times now, have they been around consistently 10 years successfully doing HR? It is, you know, that tells us that they're doing something right. You know, if they've been in it for some time, because you can make a huge mistake, you know, in this field, saying the wrong thing, not documenting the right thing, you know, and learning by happenstance, you know, oh my God, that wasn't supposed to do that.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can cost you. I mean, it can cost you. So entry level is my suggestion. I don't care how old you are, right? You're never too young or old to start. If you have a passion for it and you believe that you can be of value to it, you just have to be open to learning the foundational things of the field. And I think from there you can move quickly. It all depends on, you know, yourself, to be honest.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's great advice, because I think a lot of people do wonder, like, okay, do I need to go and get all these different degrees and, you know, things like that. But I think you brought up some really, really good, like, life points for people who are interested in this field of, you know, what you can do, you know, now, especially in this time, you know, what you can do to get started. But one thing I love about you is the passion that you have for this field. And it just oozes out. Like, I've talked with you several times and I can hear every time we talk. And I know it's also not a easy field, because you're dealing with humans, you're dealing with emotions and feelings, and then you got to deal with your own as well, especially when we talk about, you know, so many things going on, global pandemic, social injustice, all these things that happen that affect you, but not only affect the organizations that you represent and help. So what keeps you motivated and passionate in this field?
Oh my goodness. I want to tell you, what keeps me motivated and passionate is every single day when I leave, and I know that I have affected somebody's work life in some way,
right?
That I have affected in a positive way a decision that was made for the company that is surrounded people, you know, the leadership, and I can leave and know that they were guided another day by partnering with me to create a better place to work and to make sure things are fair. That keeps me motivated. I mean, it drives me. I it's nothing more. I mean, we spend a lot of time at work. Those, you know, and you might understand, before you were an entrepreneur, right? You know, working, you know, every single day, you feel like most of your life, you know, you are committed to working for somebody. Right. You know, if we look back over, you know, through time, and we think about our grandparents and our great grandparents, you know, even our parents, and we can see that, you know, some of these individuals have worked till their last day, you know, and that's all they knew was work. To me, I say, you know what, if someone's going to spend that much time in the workplace, we need to do right by it.
Right.
We need to do right by it. We need to, you know, help extend their longevity in general, so that when they reach retirement, they have some of them left.
Exactly.
Because if one thing I can't stand would be just a company that decides, you know, especially an HR department that decides, you know what, I have no voice, you know, I'm just going to allow this company to do what they're going to do, and I'm just going to come here and I'm collect the paycheck. I just never go in with that mindset. I go in every single day saying, okay, what change am I going to implement today? How am I going to partner today with these individuals under this roof so that everyone goes home tonight with peace?
Exactly.
You know, I think that's great. And then also being able, the pleasure of having a team. I mean, I've been having the pleasure to really develop, you know, an HR team of professionals that I see them growing and soaring every single day. And I think that in itself, knowing that I'm spreading that same mindset to be a healthy and you know, ethical HR professional, that's what keeps me going. I love it.
Right. And you can tell. I mean, you honestly can tell that is your go-to. That is why you do this. And I think that makes you more successful, and people like you who really, really, like, they dig what they do. Like, it's not just, okay, let me clock in for this moment, these hours or whatever. It's like, no, let me see how I can go in here and impact change, you know, make a change in these organizations that I work with. So name some resources that have helped you along the way.
Oh man, definitely mentors, you know, mentors that kind of gravitate towards me and those that I've sought out myself. Also connecting with local human resources organizations and networks. They are out there. Society for Human Resource Management is a huge one. Any HR professional would know, we call it SHRM for short. And it's a yearly membership for HR professionals, and they have an assortment of resources and toolkits and things like that you can mm-hmm. really utilize. They can help with job descriptions, you know, if researching certain laws, employment laws. There's also different seminars and webinars that they host to keep the HR professionals abreast of things. There's also local chapters. So if someone were to go on SHRM or just kind of Google, you know, their local HR network, they could find within their zip code or not far a chapter that they can participate in more locally, so that they can gather together with other HR professionals, just, you know, for the fellowship, the networking, and for the additional knowledge. I think one thing I've learned in this field is that we are continued learners. You know, so while you get that foundational knowledge, to keep that foundational knowledge as you're learning hands-on, you have to infuse that, you know, with other things. I think an HR certification is ideal now. I think that it is, for the HR professional, it is ideal, but also for organizations, because they're beginning to feel a lot more confident in their HR teams when they have mm-hmm. somebody that's certified as an HR professional. So I think starting there, also HR podcasts, you know, they very helpful, because you kind of get to hear in a more down to earth setting, HR professionals speaking and talking about different topics. And you know, iron sharpens iron. That's just the way that goes.
True.
So,
true.
You know, knowledge is power. Especially now, like this pandemic going on,
Yes. This
has challenged a lot of HR professionals, because the employers are looking now and saying, okay, we're ready to partner. What should we do?
Exactly.
How do we handle it? You know, when we get someone that's positive in here, hey, Candace, right. You tell us now, we need a policy. Give it to us. You know?
Right. Yeah. And I know with, you know, the global pandemic going on, as well as the social injustices that have happened, you know, for you, professionals, you had to go in and really look at some policies, you know, that were in place, and then even enact some policies that weren't there. Because I was in grocery retail, and I can recall when, you know, COVID first started coming out, of course, we were considered first responders and mm-hmm. having to come to work. And I can recall sitting with our HR manager for our particular store, and she was like, Lakeisha, you know, this is something we were not prepared for as on the HR side. Like she said, I have to admit that we didn't do well with this, because, you know, we have people that are calling in and, you know, they're saying, you know, well, why is this counted against me? Because, you know, there's a global pandemic going on outside. Like, what do you want me to do? I'm fearful for my family. I'm fearful for myself. And she was like, we really had to sit down as a company and say, you know, what's more important? If we say we're for our people, you know, there have to be some limitations. That's but, right. You know, she said, we have to consider people. And you know, I think that was for me, the first time I kind of really saw that human side of HR, because they really considered a lot of things for the, and at this company, we called our employees partners. They really considered a lot for the partners. And then when the social, you know, injustice happened with George Floyd and everybody was speaking out, my company was kind of slow to speak out, but it was due to, there's a lot of diversity in the company. And so they wanted to be very careful. And I appreciated them for, I appreciated them for that. And when our president, he did make a statement, and his statement was so wrong, Candace. Oh my gosh, it was so wrong. It was just,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was like, he said something to the effect of, it was pretty much saying, you know, he was sorry that, you know, things were happening. He didn't address, you know, say George Floyd directly. He didn't say Black Americans. Mm-hmm. African Americans. He did not, you know, identify us at all. He was talking about inclusion, and some of us were upset. We were livid, because we were like, right now is not the time for inclusion or to talk inclusion. We want people to recognize what we're going through. We want people to recognize how we are hurting and how we're in pain. And for someone, especially someone that we are coming to work during a pandemic for, to recognize and understand that. And so some of us kind of, you know, sounded off under his video. When I say HR was calling us, the HR director, he called me. He was like, hey, Lakeisha, we got to talk. Like, I saw your comment and I know you're upset. Can you tell me what made you upset? And just the mere fact that they thought enough to reach out to some of us to say what upset us really, really just made me be like, wow. Like, this is not a game. And he, in all honesty, he came back the next day and he updated his statement and he apologized. He said, this is all new for us all. This is a new realm that I'm in, and I don't understand all of it. And I want to apologize to those that I offended. But I also want you to know that I stand with you. And it was like, wow. Like, say you don't know.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I will, you know, man, I'm going to tell you, I've heard a lot of stories like similar to that one this year, given just the, man, the back-to-back situations that we've been dealing with. Number one, as a community of people of color, but then also adding this pandemic on it. And you gave a great example on why HR exists, right? I mean, that very interesting enough, as we were stepping into a lot of these, when that situation came out with George Floyd, the first thing that hit me, because I'm constantly processing things on how do I make, you know, affect the work environment that I'm in as the HR manager. I have that authority.
Right.
You know, people are awaiting me to respond. And I said, what do you do with that? Right. And my first thought was, we need to find out how people are feeling.
Right.
And we need to, because every company is different. Every culture is different, you know? And the first thing I did was I huddled up that management group. I said, I need to meet with all the leadership.
Right.
And I said, so let's just talk, because I know that you all are watching the news, right? And I just was very real and transparent. That's usually my style.
Right.
You know, because we're dealing with people. I never feel the need to hide, you know, what is happening around us. It doesn't make sense. And I said, so how do you respond? Does anybody know? And I looked around the room. And they all just kind of looked, and they were just kind of like, you know, man, I don't know what she's going. And I said, the reason, you know, they're like, man, what she's trying to say. And I said, well, the reason why I asked that question was because we need to feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
And, you know, and I said, and it's okay to feel uncomfortable, but I want you to understand how your employees are feeling as well.
Right. Right.
And I said, I'm not expecting, as the site manager here, I am not expecting you all to have the answers. But what I'm expecting from our leadership is to want to find out what they can do.
Yeah.
I said, I'm challenging you all to connect with your group. You need to have a team huddle. You need to say to them if there's anything that you can do. If there's anybody that wants to talk, you can let them know HR is there. I said, you have to be human first.
Right.
And you need to say to this group, listen, I don't know the answer. I don't know what to do. And we just need to be honest.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell you that I had a couple of people right after that meeting say to me, they came into my office and there's a gentleman that said, Candace, oh my goodness, you know, I'm so glad you spoke about it. He was a white man. He said, you know, I didn't know what to do. He said, I have black friends. I have, you know, he said, and I was talking to my wife and I was just like, wait, like, what do we do? What do I say?
Right.
He says, so I'm so glad that you're so bold and to speak this because it gave me some direction.
Right.
And I looked at him and I said, it's okay not to know. It's okay not to know. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think that your friends, your black friends, your people of color friends, or whoever you want to, they will all understand if you say to them, I am not sure what to do or how to fix this, but I stand with you.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and this is why I do what I do. This is what I mean is that this was a time, and I said this, you know, in the HR firm, I said, this is a time for HR to show off like it's never done before. If we, to the skill set that is required, this goes back to what I said, Lakeisha, about everything's not in the textbook.
Right.
You can't turn to chapter 10 and say, what do I do in the midst of a global pandemic? What do I do, you know, should there be, you know, racial injustice? There's no chapters on that. You know, you just have to use your moral compass. You have to be able to use, you know, a combination of what you know about employment law and just your ultimate connection to the people in your facility to have a pulse of what gets through to those folks to know that you support them. That is very important to do. And I'm so glad to hear that an organization like the one you were working for had a president that would then come back and correct himself. That speaks loads. I mean, you know, that speaks a lot. There's companies that will not do that.
Exactly. Don't say nothing.
Yeah. Yep. They'll just be quiet and say, well, I'm not saying anything today. I'm not opening up.
Right, right. Yeah. And it really, for me, it made a difference because I wasn't happy really how they dealt with how we were running things in the stores as managers during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But that just kind of made me, you know, step back when that came about and they handled that differently. I was like, okay, there's some hope here. You know, mm-hmm. there's some hope. And, you know, even as a store manager, you have to see the business side of it, but I was more in tune with the people side because it was so many people affected. Because not only now am I trying to keep customers safe, but I got to keep my folks safe. Because if my folks don't show up, I don't have anybody to serve, you know, my customers. And so, you know, I would always be the ones at the meetings like, okay, I understand you're saying we need to be here for our communities, but we are our communities. So what are y'all doing for us? You know, when are we going to get masks and when are we going to, you know, do this and what are the limitations we're going to put on customers? And sometimes some of my colleagues will look at me and be like, girl, you crazy. I'm like, no, we need to fight for our people as well, because if they don't feel comfortable coming to work, they won't come.
Right.
They will call out. They will not show up. My best friend is the HR manager for Home Depot, and it's hilarious. You know, I love her no-nonsense style of how she deals with it, and it makes people laugh. They love it because she makes them laugh. And she said one of them had called her and said, well, they're making me come to work, and I don't feel comfortable. She's like, nobody's making you come to work. That's not what they said. They said you can stay home. You just won't get paid.
Right,
but not making you come to work. I like
you can't get more honest than that.
Yeah, she's like, don't say that. You know, you are saying the wrong thing. Nobody is saying that to you, and so I love how she was like, no, this is what you heard, but this is what we actually said. This right. is what we said. We didn't say that you had to come. She was like, we yep. can't force you to come to work right now. What we can tell you is that if you don't come to work, if you don't have entitlements right. or, you know, whatever, then you won't be paid. That is what we, you know, said to you. So it was just like, you know, really funny. Even during that time, I was like, girl, I can only imagine that person's face at the time.
They looked at their phone twice and said, what?
Yes, yes. And she was like, they were just like, oh, okay. Okay. Okay, well, thank you. She was like, they had no recourse. Like, they didn't know what to come back and say. So it's really good to have professionals like yourself, like her, who they take this seriously, and they have to deal with, you know, things as they come, as well as, you know, personally, internally for yourself, because you have, you know, family yourself that you got to go home to. So it's really good to, you know that there are professionals like you that take this seriously.
Absolutely.
They really, really do. So tell us a few of the valuable lessons that you've learned, you know, during your career as an HR professional.
Oh, man. Oof. Just a few? Okay. You know, it's, and I would say, if you don't learn a valuable lesson in HR, you're not doing it right. But man, I think one thing that stands out, there was a situation, and this was early in my career, and there was some situation surrounding I-9s for a company that I worked for. And, you know, for those that are not familiar with the I-9 exactly, and you fill it out when you're onboarding for a new job, it just allows us to authorize your employment, you know, that you're authorized to work in the United States. And this was probably at a time where E-Verify was not, you know, as vastly used as it is. Oh. And so anyway, had the paper form, and the company apparently was out of compliance. Now, at the time, I was a lower level, you know, a lower level in HR, so I wasn't a decision maker or anything. And I remember the president of the of that site, actually the director of operations, I'm sorry, of that site, I think they were prepared to be an audited, and they realized there were errors on the I-9s, came to me and said, Candace, so listen, I'm going to need you to take these I-9s, wipe this information out, like wipe, and put this information. And I sat there and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, like, you know, if I don't comply, am I insubordinate? Like, is he going to fire me? You know? Right. And I said, but this is not right. That's illegal. I cannot do that.
Exactly. You know?
And I sat there to myself, and it was kind of this inner thing going on, like, oh my goodness, you know, who am I? They'll tell me to leave in a second. I need this job. I have my own apartment. I have a car. You know, I don't have anybody else to depend upon. But then this other side of me said, that's not why I said yes to HR.
Right.
That's not why I decided to listen to the manager that promoted me over and move over so I can make decisions like this. No, I can't do it right. So I said, with all due respect, sir, that's illegal. And I cannot, with my right as an HR professional of this site, do that and still have my integrity. And I said, so I'm sorry. And if, you know, that's going to cost my job, I'll have to be okay with that. And he just kind of looked at me, not said nothing, and just kind of walked away. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's it. I might as well pack it up, because tomorrow is done for me. It is done. And so I just kind of said, well, you know what? If that's the case, then I can leave with my head held high.
Exactly.
If that's the way it's going to be. I mean, I was nervous and I was scared because, again, I needed that paycheck, you know. But I said, how can I live with myself? And so the next day, like, sitting at my desk, and I got a phone call from his administrative assistant that said, you know, he would like for you to come up to his office. So I thought, here it is.
Right.
Here's the moment, you know. And I go up there, and he said, Candace, how are you today? And I said, I'm doing all right, sir. And he said, so yesterday I asked you to do something. Do you remember that? And I said, yes. He said, and you said no, basically. And I said, Yes, not quite like that, but I did say that I didn't feel like it was ethical to do. Yes, I did.
Right.
And he said, no one has ever stood up to me before. And I commend you for that. He said, you are going to go so far in your career because there needs to be more people like you. I want to apologize for me. He said we were under pressure, and I want to apologize for even having asked you that. He said, but you have shown me your true character. And he said, I'm so glad to have you on this team. And when I tell you, whew, the weight lifted off my... Oh, man. I said, all right. And I walked down, and that, I'm going to tell you that lesson I learned there, and I teach that to my team to this day, and I actually share that story with my team to this day to say, that to me made the impression on my career.
Right.
Where I told myself that I was going to stay. I was going to stay in that place to be in the one that will stand against the odds to do it right. You know, and I'm telling you, even now, telling that story now, it brings up a lot for me because it was tough. Again, here I am, entry level, trying to work my way up, and I can lose my job because this company wants me to do something wrong. And so because I stood, until this day, I have the respect of that man.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And it takes a lot to stand up to someone. But when you have your morals and your values on the table, you're like, okay, well, listen.
Yeah.
I might not have no job, but I still have them in place.
That's right. I need to sleep well at night. You know, I need to sleep well.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, that's really good stuff. So tell us some common myths about your profession that you want to debunk. Because I know folks, they be out here just quoting stuff. Oh, that's HR. Oh, that's HR. And it don't even be HR.
Right. Well, I think we talked a little bit about one earlier where people feel they come to HR to get fired.
Yes.
You know, and unfortunately, right, we have a lot of individuals that are given that power and utilize it in that way. But the reality is that that's not the truth. Truthfully, a person, if they're coming to HR, that should be a retention conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that conversation, I always tell leadership to focus exactly that way. When you're sitting with someone, the best way to set up your conversation with somebody when you know you have to correct them, because it's already uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, it's uncomfortable for them. And if you have the right heart, it's uncomfortable for you. Right. And so you set that up with, I have to give it to you straight because I need you to know where you stand. Right. But here are some of the things that you also do great. And here are some of the things I'm going to do to set you up for success, to accomplish those things and improve on those things that you're struggling with. I think that is a huge myth, right? You know, I'm going to go to HR, they're going to fire me. Right. No, you're actually finding a lot more value and you're seeing a lot more in HR where they're actually trying to retain you. Because guess what? The numbers show them, oh my goodness, I can't be losing people.
Right.
I can't just lose people like as if they don't, you know, they're not of value. Because guess what? This business won't keep afloat. And so retention has made a name for itself. So I think that's one rumor that I would definitely like to dispel. I think the other would be, you know, that HR are just paper pushers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come to HR, I get a paycheck. You know, and again, not true. I mean, employee relations, training and development, health, safety, security, you know, recruitment and selection. I mean, just to name a few, are all the things that a real fully functional HR department can give to its employees. So I think that would be nice if there was more, you know, advocacy at companies in regards to what HR does, so that I push that where I'm at, like, you know, to the point employees flood to HR. Like, they'll come to HR and they just have a question about, they're not afraid, like, they'll come down, right. Let me speak to Miss Candace, I just wanted to ask you this question on this thing I saw, but instead of just, oh my goodness, I'm afraid to talk to, you know, it's, hey, let me stop down. They're not afraid. And I, again, I challenge HR professionals, please make your departments, your environments,
yes,
the open door. Truly open door. I mean, you hear that often, right? Oh, there's not really open door. And I know what they mean. They come down, they can't talk to HR. You have to go through several different channels, you know, but open yourself up, you know, and partner with your management so they can feel respect too, because they're not going to respect HR if they feel as though employees are going to just come down and bypass them. You know, you're not doing that employee a service by constantly talking to them, then going to their manager, talking to their manager for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're better off being a liaison and saying, did you talk to your manager? Well, no, I didn't talk to him. Well, maybe let's try that first.
Yeah, let's do that. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
And if it doesn't work, then come talk to me and let's talk about why it's not working. Because ultimately my goal is to try to help that manager and that employee maintain that relationship. They're the ones that see each other every single day.
Right.
You know, so I think those are some of the things that I would dispel. HR is not just paper pushers. You know, you don't just come to get fired or hired. We have it all. We've got it all going on down there.
Right. You ain't lying when you say that. And I think those are like really, really great tips, because it helps us think of HR in a different light. Like, it dispels a lot of, you know, rumors, or as we said, myths about what it really is and how, you know, it could be of service to you. And I think when my mindset changed around it, it was how I better use them to my advantage. So like when I was in grocery retail, when I put in my notice, that was the first thing. I mean, I don't think I had hit send and walked away from my computer, and it was a invite for a phone call, you know, a Zoom call. And I was like, whoa, okay, hold up. What's up? And you know, it just made me feel really good that they thought enough of me, which this company was really good about how they dealt with the partners anyway, but it just made me feel really good that they thought enough of me to say, you know, let's give her a call and let's see what's going on. And so for me, it was several issues, you know, of things that I didn't like that had happened just during the COVID pandemic, how we handle certain situations. But it was just the love of doing what I really wanted to do. And I felt like I had come to my crossroads with the company. I felt like, not that I couldn't advance, because I was in a really good position to still advance, but I was actually making more money in my business than I was working. And so I was like, what in the world am I doing? Like, it's time.
Yes,
to move on. And it was so great, Candace, to where I could be very, you know, frank with the HR manager. Actually got my calls with the VP, and I said, I'm not a good employee at this point. And he said, wait a minute, what do you mean? He's like, what do you mean when you say that? And my assistant, she cringes when I say that. But I said, at this point, I'm coming here, I'm trying to put in these 10 hours as a salary manager, and then I'm trying to go home and work at my real job. And so, not that I don't give you 100%, sir, I think I do, but my mind is not here anymore. I'm not here mentally, and I need to be at home. And he said, I respect you for even saying that. He said, because some people will lie and tell me whatever. I say, ain't no sense in me lying to you. I just need to tell you what it is. And it's not that anything that you all, you know, particularly have done that made me so mad with the company. It's just, I think my season is done, and it's time for me to do something else. And he said, well, I appreciate you doing that. Because I gave like a month's notice, because it's hard to replace salary managers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I felt like giving 2 weeks just wasn't fair to them in all the time and stuff they had invested in me. But you're right, that whole call was like, you know, if you step down and took another position, nope, I'm still gonna be making more money and what I'm doing at home than I'm doing here. You know, is there anything that we could do that could possibly change your mind. And I'm like, no. And just going over, like, you know, the benefits of the company, like, of things I knew already. Right. And what it looked like after the fact, and like, hey, you know, we have a contractor position, you know, would you be open to that? Like, it was just a really good conversation. And you're right. Like, they didn't just take it and accept it and be like, oh, okay, then bye. Right. It wasn't like that, like with the VP. Now, my immediate boss, which I talked about on when I was interviewed on a podcast, he was sort of like, oh, okay, bye. Cause he and I bumped heads, but it was the same thing. Like you said, with your previous boss, there were procedures that I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. No, that doesn't serve the customer nor the partner. And so we would bump heads on those things, but he wasn't the main reason. Like I was like, boy, bye. I got HR on my side. Cause I and what I needed. I was very, very well known with them because even when I had issues with partners, I'm like, okay, this is borderline this. So what can I do in this instance? Because I looked it up and it says this, but there's so much gray area. And whenever I saw gray, I was like, nope, I'm calling somebody because it should never be, you know, where I'm making a decision where I'm questioned. That was the main thing. I never wanted to be questioned on any calls that I made. I wanted to always make sure I was following the company's culture and their values.
There you go.
That, yeah. I always
wanted to. HR empowered you. That's yeah. Awesome.
Yes. I love them for that. I love them for that. So I know you love all things HR, but I know you probably got a favorite area of HR that you like to practice.
Oh, yes. actually, I have two favorite areas, employee relations and training and development. And to define employee relations for those that aren't quite familiar with the term, it is basically handling and conflict resolution between employee and employer. Any issues that may arise, you know, whether that is disagreements with their management, whether that is disagreements with another coworker, you know, situations in regards to conflicts with policies and corrective actions and all those different things. Those are employee relations. And then training and development, it speaks for itself in its title. One of the things that I love about training and development is because that is the place where I get to capture those. I have that set aside time for that audience, whether it's the leadership, whether it's the employees, to again make that impact. Something that will affect their work life. I take that very, very seriously, whether we're talking about something as simple as interviewing skills. Interview one-on-one. How do we become the best at interviewing people?
Right.
You know, how do we create an experience with someone coming in? So I dive into things kind of like, you know, the interview is not just for the person coming in. There, you know, this is a time to leave an impression on who we are as a company. This is a time right now is where you're retaining. Right now is where you're building a great reputation for this employer. So right. That when someone leaves, even if they don't work here, they're going to say, man, that company really has a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, so just things like that, where people can have takeaways that they actually instill. I love it because when I see from the beginning of a training session to the end of one, something changed for somebody, some group, and it has made something better. And I see the effects time after time, day after day. That to me, man, mission accomplished right there. So those are the two areas, yes.
Oh, and those are like two really awesome areas when you think about it. Like that's phenomenal. And it gives you that human interaction. I just can't see you just sitting at a desk, Candace. I just can't see that. I'm sorry. I know you're not that type of HR professional. Like I just can't see you doing that at all.
I think that's why I like the training and development because, you know, I'm out of my seat. You know, I'm the type of HR, I walk the facility. You know, I stop down to the warehouse. I'm dropping candy off. You know, how's it going, guys? How's everything down here? Right. You know, walking through the floor, thanking people for being here today, remembering when they mentioned, you know, hey, my son had that surgery. How's your son? How's he doing? Exactly. You know, little things like that that are free and genuine make someone's day.
It sure does. Yeah.
Yes.
That's so true. Oh my gosh, I have loved our conversation.
You me are too.
Mom.com. Like totally. I told y'all this was gonna be a good one. I already knew this was gonna be the bomb. And you hear it from an HR professional. So all of that stuff that y'all coworkers be talking about, no, not true. I heard from a professional. What the real
That's right.
Oh my God.
Yes, indeed.
So tell the listeners how they can get connected with you.
Oh yes, absolutely. So please connect with me via LinkedIn. You can find me at Candace Robinson White, easily searched there on LinkedIn. And then also via email at cjwhitehrmprofessional@gmail.com. I would love to connect with you if you want any advice or anything, any questions about HR. I'd be happy to help you out.
That is so great. Oh my gosh, you are super amazing. I really appreciated you coming on and sharing some great tips, you know, giving us the real about HR. And I love your passion for it. I love your motivation for it. And I know the organizations you work for, they are lucky.
Oh, thank you.
Lucky. So I definitely appreciate you being a part.
Thank you so much for having me, Lakeisha. It's been a pleasure, and I enjoy my time with you. I truly have.
Yes, thanks again.
You're welcome.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.